All right, GM, everyone. Or should I say, G Mino? That's a foreshadowing of some alpha I'll be releasing shortly. And should be released on Twitter in the very near future as well. But, anyways. Let's get started with this AMA. So, first questions we have are from CDL. They ask, how has the launch of SandGlass impacted Lifinity's revenue? So, it hasn't impacted it all that much. I guess there's two effects. One is that we've used a bunch of our idle assets to provide liquidity. So that means some of our USDC that used to not be doing anything is now earning yield through JLP and through MarginFi's CUSDC. So that's cool. But I assume that's not what you're referring to. You're probably more referring to how, or like the fees that SandGlass is generating. And that effect is quite small at the moment because there's still not a lot of users who have used SandGlass. So the total fees we've generated are still quite small. So, I mean, it's still like on a scale that's really not worth talking about. But yeah, we expect that to scale over time as more users start using our platform and we add support for more assets. Let's see. Thought I was going to mention something. That slipped my mind. Oh well, it'll probably eventually come back. All right, your next question is, will it allow another use of idle assets? The answer is yes. We're already doing that. And we'll continue to do it, just seeding our vaults with liquidity using our own idle assets. So yeah, it's really nice that we have idle assets right now because we get to seed these markets. If we didn't have any idle assets, then we would need people to deposit. And you know that'd be a lot more challenging to get that initial level of liquidity that makes any kind of trading feasible. Yeah, like if you just have a few thousand dollars of liquidity, or even like a few hundred maybe, you can't trade in size. And so that just like demotivates any traders from trying to use the platform. So it's good that we have like a baseline level of liquidity for like all our assets, and trading is viable for all the assets. Yeah. So yeah, we'll continue doing that. Next question. What are the mechanisms in which SandGlass will be accretive to Lifinity holders? That's something we haven't revealed yet. And we have a number of options. I mean, there are a ton of options. We're considering a few. And that will be revealed in good time. There's no reason really to try and talk about it prematurely. And I think right now it still is premature to talk about it. I think all that Lifinity holders need to know is that, as we've repetitively emphasized, SandGlass has been built with funding from the VE IDO and ongoing revenue from the Lifinity platform. So it only makes sense that value should accrue to Lifinity holders in one way or another. Yeah, I don't think Lufinity holders will be disappointed with what we have planned. It certainly won't be like a thing where the team tries to be extractive. Thanks for taking the questions. You're welcome. All right. Next, we have JustMe123. Says, we'd all love to know how the audit process is going. Yeah, so we're in the early stages of that. I think the auditing teams on Solana, or what is it, the auditing firms on Solana are quite busy. There's a lot of demand from projects to get audited, so we're like next in line basically. And I think it'll get started on their end, the auditor's end, in a couple weeks approximately. And I'm actually like not familiar with how audit processes usually go. Like I'm not sure how much back and forth there is between the auditors and the project team. So like it seems entirely possible to me that like they just go through the entire audit while asking us very few questions, and then at the very end, once they've figured everything out, they write it up and deliver it to us. But maybe it's not like that. Maybe it's more gradual and piecemeal, where they point things out to us as they notice things that can be improved. I'm not really sure. So all that to say, like, even when the audit is underway, it may be the case that we just don't have really much to share because we aren't hearing much from the auditors. Or alternatively, like maybe we are hearing things, but you know, it'll like obviously be very technical. Likely beyond my technical expertise, if I can even call it that. Like I'm not one of Lufinity's coders. I can just do a little bit of Python. So yeah, I might really not have much to share, even when it's underway. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it's happening. It's happening. So that's good. Let me take a sip. All right, next question we have from Meta H. The volume on Lufinity has decreased quite a lot in the past few weeks. What do you think are the main reasons? Is it a general market thing or something else? Yeah, so I think the main reason, if not the only reason, is that it is a general market thing. Volumes have been low as prices have mostly chopped around. So that's the main thing. Like, if you recall, there was that period where we were generating revenue that was north of $1 million per month. And during that time, prices were running up a lot. And yeah, that obviously contributes to there being more volume. And right now, it is not like that, so there's a lot less volume. Another factor is simply asset prices. So, like, if you denominate in SOL, for example, if you trade 1,000 SOL when SOL is $200, that's $200,000 of volume. Whereas if you trade 1,000 SOL when it's worth $100, that's $100,000 worth of volume. So, all that to say, the higher the price of SOL, generally speaking, there's going to be more dollar denominated volume. So SOL price is not super low or anything. Like, it's definitely been much lower. But there was also the period where it was a decent amount higher, like in the 180 to 200-ish range. I don't exactly remember what the price of SOL was during that period when we were generating revenue of north of $1 million per month. But yeah, I would guess that prices were higher then. At the very least, there was, a ton of like meme coin trading, and that, will also contribute to SOL volume as well. So yeah, so I think it's mostly a market thing, if not just that. If there is another reason, it is likely just stiffer competition from market makers on especially on order books. I think we mentioned in a previous AMA last month or the month before that open books started or created a pool or a market with zero fees, and that resulted in market makers quoting tighter, which means more competition for us. And now there is that new order book protocol. I can't remember the name, but developed by the Mango team, which also has zero fees and has some like infrastructural improvements over Phoenix and OpenBook. I doubt that's like gained a ton of adoption yet, although like if its infrastructural improvements are as good as they seem to say they are, I assume that over time like market makers will just migrate to that protocol, just because it's better. So, but yeah, I don't even know if that, like, because the open book zero fee market already exists, so it doesn't really matter how many of them there are, as long as there's one, like, that's all you need to make things more competitive. So, yeah, so that's the other thing I can think of. But I think that's about it. Cool. Yeah, well, please type your questions in the AMA questions channel if you have any more questions. Meanwhile, I'll just talk about the alpha that I was hinting at a bit earlier. So today, in a couple hours, ideally, we're going to be launching a Kamino CUSDC pool. So this is yield trading for the yield for USDC deposits in Kamino's main market. So that's its main pool. Like, there's a few pools where you can deposit USDC, but this will be for the main one, which has the most deposits. Predictably. And a something that makes this vault unique is that we're going to get a 2x multiplier on all the points generated from the USDC in the vault. So, for example, especially if you don't have any Kamino tokens staked, which can help you get more points. But possibly, even if you do have Kamino tokens staked, if you're below a certain threshold, which I would assume is like most people, like if you're just using the Kamino tokens that you received from season one and two, wait, are you in season two or three? I forget. But if you're only using the Kamino tokens from the that you received from the previous seasons and staking those, then it's likely that you don't your boost is like smaller than 2x, I would guess. So that means there's going to be a lot of people who will do best by depositing in Kamino via Sandglass. That is by providing liquidity mainly, unless you want to take a directional bet, of course, which is also great, especially if you want to bet on the yield increasing by buying YT tokens, because all the points will go to the YT holders, same as the CUSDC margin fee pool. So yeah, when you buy YT, you're betting that the yield is going to increase and slash or you think the value that you get from the points, which will turn into Kamino tokens, will be large enough to compensate for whatever loss you have from the yield. So if you're bullish on the yield and slash or you're bullish on the value of points, which is essentially the price of Kamino, I guess, then buying YT tokens is going to be a good bet for you. And conversely, if you're bearish on the price, or not the price, the yield, if you think the USDC yield is going to decrease, and slash or you think the Kamino price is going to decrease, then you can buy PT tokens, and that will enable you to lock in a fixed yield. So whatever the current fixed yield is on SandGlass, when you buy the PT tokens, you will get that yield, no matter how the yield changes thereafter. Yeah, so that's exciting. This is our first vault that will have a multiplier. So there's a distinct advantage to using SandGlass over just doing a naked deposit on Kamino, and possibly an advantage even over directly depositing on Kamino with staking boost. Yeah, so that's dope. I'm excited for that. And like Kamino has a huge community, so I'm sure they'll help amplify this integration. And yeah, I guess like so with MarginFi's CUSDC vault, there still hasn't been a lot of trading. Actually, this is a thing I think I wanted to talk about earlier when I forgot. Give me a second. So the JLP trading volume has been our best vault yet. JLP has been our best vault in terms of trading volume so far. And I mean, that makes sense because its yield is quite volatile. And then MarginFi USDC, not so much, at least so far. We'll see how things change. But I think part of that is people have a harder time thinking about like what the points are going to be worth, because MarginFi hasn't turned their points into tokens yet, if that is what they do. Whereas with Kamino, you kind of know what you're getting. You can like approximate how much points will be worth. Like they have a nice points dashboard where you can see total points. You can, I forgot if they said like how many total Kamino tokens will be emitted for this next season, but I assume you know it's going to be commensurate to whatever it was for the previous season. So like you can make a very educated guess as to how much points will be worth, and so it's easier to reason about these things. So I expect there to be more volume on the Kamino. I mean, not only because of that, but also because there's a multiplier. So there's a good reason to buy YT. But yeah. So that's exciting. And we'll be launching it very soon.
Stay tuned.
Right, well, not seeing any more questions yet. Any of you guys have any more questions?
Or even on Twitter. If anyone on Twitter wants to ask any questions.
I believe you can type them. You can also ask to speak on stage. Looks like we have a lower turnout compared to last month. But yeah, maybe I'll just wait a few more minutes. And if there are no more questions, then we can end it early. Prodromo asks, is there any plan on marketing connected to this new pool launch that is Twitter Threads competition? Not currently. Like, yeah, as an example, yeah, there's many ways to do marketing, of course. Yeah, like, I'm not sure how effective those will be. I mean, like, I think it'll be effective if if the right person writes a Twitter thread for sure. But the question is, like, how do you incentivize them? Like, if people have a large audience, I doubt they participate in those kinds of competitions. So like we have done some Twitter things in the past, especially related to flares. I don't know if you remember. This might be like quite a while ago, maybe like a couple of years ago. And like some content is definitely good. And yet like it doesn't get much reach just because the people writing it don't really have a platform. They don't have many followers. And so that kind of defeats the purpose. It's like you get good content, but then no reach. So it really needs to be like coming from the right people. And I think that's the tricky part. And the other thing is like people pay much more attention to things that have an explicit promise of an airdrop or points or something like that, you know, like that promises like some kind of financial incentive. Like those things just tend to get way more engagement and eyeballs. And I mean, like, there's a chance that we do something like that in the future. But then, like, if that's the case, then I would prefer to focus marketing when we're actually doing those things, because then it will be much more effective. Prodromo says, yeah, my Twitter is flooded with these useless airdrops slash points threads. Yeah, useless, but then, like, of course, like, when people see it many times, like, the more times they see something, the more relevant they feel it is, and the higher the likelihood that they eventually check it out. But yeah, I'm assuming, like, whatever you're seeing are from people with, like, not small audiences. For the most part. So yeah, it's tricky. One thing I was thinking of, like, was did you perhaps see what Gumshoe posted a while ago? I think it's called Dot Pivot. And it's like, I mean, I don't know the exact details, but it's like some kind of service for doing marketing, right? And you can imagine, like, if Gumshoe wrote a thread about Sandglass, like, that will instantly bring a shit ton of people to our platform. He was actually, like, saying he was writing a thread about Lifinity in January this year. And I guess he just canceled that. He never ended up posting it. He didn't say why. But yeah, anyways. I think we're still, like, focused on building, releasing more vaults, and essentially finding product market fit. Like, marketing is a timing thing too, because, like, if you do it too early when you don't really have enough things to, what's the word? That can, I can't find the word. But basically, like, can draw in, like, a large crowd that where they're like, you have something for everyone. Then, like, people will check out your platform and then see that there's nothing they're interested in, and then just, like, basically write it off, and not, and from that point forward, just not keep up with your protocol. So yeah, as Prodromo says, it can backfire. So we don't want to do premature marketing either, I think. The drama says 100%, get your points. Thanks. No problem. All right, well, I think we're gonna cut it early today. But regardless, thanks for everyone who showed up, and appreciate all the questions as usual. And hope you guys will deposit or trade in the new Camino CUSDC vault. All right, well, see you guys around in the chat. And stay tuned for the announcement. Have a good day, guys. See ya.